T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the sidelines with the dogs.
We are Dukes and Bell live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Coming up in 20 minutes, Charlie Casserly. And he'll join us talking about the draft. He'll get his thoughts. You know, I've been on this thing today where, you know, I think that the Falcons are playing with us a little bit, working out a variety of different positions that are really not the foundation of what we need to be looking at. And, you know, Mike's saying, listen, they're going to work out everybody. I think, listen, you focus on what you need. And you go get the best guy available when the time is, when the time is right. I don't know if we need to focus on 4 quarterbacks, Mike. Are we really going to pick a quarterback in this draft?
Well, I mean, you do your due diligence, Carl. You know what I mean? Who was Jimmy Garoppolo when they picked him out of Northern Illinois? Okay. Who? I mean,
what are we going to do? We're going to storm away somewhere?
Well, I mean, for the guys who don't know how it works with the practice squads, I mean, somebody can take him, but you got to go put him on the active roster. If someone's going to try to steal him. How many years was it? Was it Matt Sims, Chris Sims, Billy Sims? Who was the Sims we had that was Phil's other son? Matt, thank you, Arthur, Matt. But, I think at some point, if you feel that you want to have a – look, Schaub's not going to be here forever. You're going to need a backup at some point. Yeah. I'm with you. If I was you, all you'd be doing is looking at corners, wide receivers, and defensive tackles. And, again, I do think we've got to go higher than mid-round to try to beef up a swing tackle, backup offensive line for depth. But, anyway, plenty more on that coming up with the Falcon Report.
All right. Right now, though, we go on the sidelines with the dogs. We do it each and every day. And it's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, I'm on BrightBoxElectrical.com. 770-901-2500. You've heard me talking about them, guys. Remember, get it all from BrightBox because they can do home video and they can do home security, everything you can mention. Save 10% when you book your service online at BrightBoxElectrical.com.
All right, guys, as we talk about the dogs, obviously leading up to spring practice, the G game and G-Day game on Saturday, April 21st. Now, Mike, we're going to be out there, and I just want to take us back a couple of years ago when Kirby challenged everybody to come out and said, listen, we need the stands full. We want 93K. People responded, and it was electric to see. And I think more importantly, when you talk about recruiting, as you say, right. That's the thing. You know, as those kids, we saw those guys who are now dogs, a lot of those kids that were there that day witnessing the spring game, walking into the stadium wide-eyed. They're doing some construction, obviously, in Athens. So, you know, be aware of that as you make your way out there if you're going to. But we're going to be out there, and I'm curious to see if the vibe is similar to what it was a couple of years ago when everybody was clamoring to see Eason. Now, Eason's gone, but my point is, these things are important.
Now, again, you'll get to see Justin Fields out there doing his thing, and you'll see Zeus on the sidelines. Zamir White will be able to wave at you. Carly won't be out there participating. But so many young faces out there, the turnover, I think a lot of guys excited to see, you know, the new skill position guys who's stepping up here and there. Because the offensive line in the trenches is where it really matters. We know, and we've said all season long, off season, that it's the turnover on defense and how quickly does Georgia get things and get guys in place. Because remember, you have week 2, South Carolina, taking on the dogs, and part of that is Chris Barnes. Sophomore Chris Barnes is moving now from offensive line to defensive line. 2 ways of looking at it. You got so much depth on offensive line, you don't need Chris, or Chris maybe wasn't working out, or maybe he's such a good athlete, Carl, you could use him on the defensive side. But Kirby has talked about it. Now you're seeing just how thin they are on defensive line, at least in spring football.
They are, and, you know, this is one of his concerns moving forward. Now, again, some of the guys they don't have on campus – because they didn't start and enroll early, they will be there in the summer, and they'll be, you know, obviously there when they start work for the fall. But it's a concern right now. And Mike, you're trying to build this board, you know, where you've got position starters, backups, and then if that guy goes down, worst case scenario.
Well, that's another part of it, Carl. In addition to what you just referred to, some of the guys not yet ready to go. You got injuries. Michael Barnett, a leg injury there. Defensive end Justin Young. And I think it was Chip Towers had it in Dog Nation. Georgia is down to 9 players for four down line positions. So that's part of the reason why you're going to see the move. And again, you know, it's happened before in the NFL and in the college ranks when a guy switches over, but see what Chris Barnes can do to add some depth and maybe make an impact on D-line for the Dogs.
For Georgia Tech, by the way, for those who missed Paul Johnson earlier in the show, it's funny, Mike, I don't know if you've seen these tweets. Follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 92.9. Guys were listening, and they heard Paul Johnson after we asked him the question about, is this it for you? You're 60. Are you
contract extension.
Yeah, and guys said they were listening, and they said, Paul Johnson, did you guys just hear that? Said he's turned down six or seven jobs since he's been at Tech. And a lot of guys were saying, whoa, wait a minute. Did he just say that? He did say that
in our
interview.
Remember the hullabaloo about the agent at least reaching out to the Tennessee athletic director when that whole volunteer rigmarole was going on.
Yeah, but I don't think they offered him.
No, but I mean, but he's been interested in other gigs. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. But the text and the tweets, now, not all these guys.
Turned down six or seven?
I mean, take him at his word. I mean,
oh, I am. I'm just saying that's a lot of opportunity.
Well, you're gonna after they made that last run, the 14th season when they played for the ACC title and they went and they beat Miss State in the Orange Bowl. That Paul Johnson's gonna get some phone calls on that one alone, you know. And he did well early in his career. And remember the old argument was he did it with Chan Gailey's guys. He had to go do it with his own guys. So there have been some times that he may have gotten some. I would say there'd be a number of phone calls. It's just a matter of, you know, what program, what kind of school would be willing to roll with the triple option offense, you know, other than Georgia Tech and the service academies.
Yeah, I just.
And I know Georgia Southern has a long history with it, but we're talking about at the top level.
Well, and I only bring this up because I want to remind Georgia Tech fans their spring game is Friday, April 20th. We asked them about that, but you'll hear that at 6:20. Here's Coach Johnson, responding to that question we asked.
I've actually turned down probably seven or eight jobs since I've been here.
Okay.
And I enjoy the type of people that are here.
So, again, to Paul Johnson's credit, respect, Coach. What jobs? Don't know. He didn't specifically say. But, guys, you know, he's been at Tech now, Mike, over a decade. And as you said, had some success. They've gone to, what, eight bowl games. It's not as if, you know, he's not won there. Now, has he won as much as people would hope? No. Has he won big, you know, the national championship? No. But that doesn't mean that he is not a respected coach around the country and that is a real possibility that while at Tech, he's had these opportunities come his way and he's been like, well, I'm really comfortable, you know? And I think he's been really comfortable. Guys, let's be honest. There's been no pressure on Paul to win the ACC consistently or, for that matter now, Mike, getting in the college football playoff.
Well, I mean, we have this conversation, what, once or twice a month. I mean, it goes back to what are – we said this on Friday. We're out at Oconee talking to some Georgia and Georgia Tech fans. What is your expectation level if you are a Yellow Jacket booster or you're an alum? I mean, what do you think they should be doing? Should this be acceptable? I mean, you had a great run of bowl. Yes, you went to bowl games every year, but there were bowl games where you stood on a blue field or you stepped out of a dugout. You know, I mean, you want to be playing in the big ones. You know, I mean, should the Orange Bowl victory and beating Georgia 2 out of 3 years, how often should that be happening for you? And that's the question, because the bad news is if you feel that Kirby's going to maybe turn this rivalry into one direction the way Mark Richt had it going, we'll see about that. But Kirby's not going to be losing because of goofy strategy moves like a pooch kick like Mark Richt did a couple years back.
Yeah, and Paul Johnson, by the way, the extension runs through 2022. So, you know, my thing was, are you going to call it quits after this? Or is there something else that you want to achieve as a coach? But you'll hear that entire interview coming up at 6:20.
And we talk about it all the time. I mean, if you ever had a chance, anybody who's a Tech fan, to talk to – and we talked about this when Wes was the play-by-play boys way back when for Tech. If you ever get a chance to talk to Coach outside of the football environment, he's funny as hell, got a great sense of humor.
He does.
He's a loose, fun guy. I mean, he's sharp as a tack. But, I mean, it just – as a fan of football, it's tough to watch a quarterback, and we talk about it in the interview, like Daquan Marshall, and the most he's ever thrown the ball in a game is six completions. I mean, think about that. Six completions is the most he's ever had as a career high at Georgia Tech. How can you come from behind with a quarterback where you're limited by the amount of attempts you're going to throw? We even talked about it with Pat Swilling the other day when we had him on talking about Georgia Tech, wishing they'd throw the ball more.
Yeah, just going back to the Georgia game last year, you know, and Georgia comes in and they're playing for an opportunity, a spot in the Final Four there, in the college football playoff.
Remember, Georgia had to regroup after losing to Auburn too.
Well, they did, and there was some, you know, you wondered what Georgia team was going to show up. And my point is this: when Georgia got up 21 in that game, it was a wrap. I mean, they pinned their ears back, and they knew that Georgia Tech was not going to be able to throw the ball consistently. And here's the deal. Remember how the Missouri game played out against Georgia? Remember they hit a couple of big plays over the top?
With Drew Locke.
And it got you nervous. Like, oh, well, all right, these guys might be in this game. you don't get that sense when Tech gets down. And that's part of the thing that when they're up, Mike, if they're up 21, forget about it. They're running clock. They're getting first downs. They're moving the chains. But when they're down 21, how quickly can you get back into a football game when you don't throw the ball as well? I mean, and so that to me is the biggest issue I think they face when they play better competition.
And you go back even to like Mark Richt's last game against Georgia Tech at Bobby Dodd, where that was a lifeless offensive performance by a pretty mediocre Georgia offense, and Georgia Tech still couldn't find a way to get that one done. So again, guys, we get the text. We get people that can't stand the offense. We get people that say, you know, for what Georgia Tech does with the academics, unless you're going to find – and when is that conversation came up last weekend, right? How many football players can do calculus and also run a 4.4?
Right.
You know, and be NFL NFL caliber. Well, that's the conundrum of being a Georgia Tech fan.
Yeah, it's interesting. Paul Johnson, again, the interview you'll hear it at 6:20. Hey, real quick, I do want to hit this as we talk some college football here and go on the sidelines. What I'm hearing out of Tennessee, and I think most of you who may follow the SEC, no gimmicks. Butch had all these sayings and all the stuff with the media, just trying to make the program feel good. They're saying Jeremy Pruitt has a completely different feel. It is all about football. It is all about hitting. There is a no-nonsense approach. And Tennessee, that they may not have the talent yet, Mike, but they got a guy that's like, look, we're all about playing football. I don't care about sayings and speeches and having signs. There's no music even being played at the spring practices. Turn the music off. We got to communicate. I mean, that's a big deal.
Thinking about Pruitt, and it kind of interesting. Remember when we talked to guys when Mark Richt was finally decided to move on and Kirby comes in, and it was a no-nonsense approach. Look, either you can do the job or we're going to find somebody else. There's an open competition at every spot. You know, he talked about, you know, need to get more physical and tough. Pruitt's is cut of the same cloth. There was, if you guys remember, not a soap opera, but there was at least reports in the media that there was some pushback from some of the guys on Mark Richt's staff about Jeremy Pruitt's methods when he came in.
Yeah.
And that he didn't necessarily fit that. Well, he's going to run it his way. And you're right. Great if you're coaching intramural sports to have those slogans on the wall and have a cat poster, Carl, that says, hang in there, baby. But, I mean, you got to be able to do the job. Tennessee Vols, by the way, you know they start their season with?
Who?
West Virginia.
Ooh.
Well, I don't know what put the lotion in the basket, what Coach Dana has up his sleeve with the Mountaineers this year. But that's who the Volunteers will start with.
All right, man. That's on the sidelines with the Dogs again. Brought to you by our friends at BrightBox. Guys, we talk about the Dogs. We talk college football, generally speaking. Everybody's gearing up for their spring games. And, you know, every fan base is looking to see what kind of talent has been infused into their program. And that's what Georgia's looking to see and show on the 21st of April.
And Georgia, by the way, playing the Tennessee Vols on, what is that, 9/29. So that's coming to Sanford Stadium. So remember that last time we saw
September? September.
Yeah. Remember the last time we saw that game? That game. Dobbs throwing the freaking
Hail Mary. I know. Yeah.
Ah, mush. Hi, everybody. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope everybody's having a decent day today.
That's what I'm saying. Butch should have been fired 2 years ago. That's the craziness.
Well, take it back to our conversation with Paul Johnson. Butch, Tennessee shouldn't have lost. There's no way Georgia Tech should have lost that game. You know what I mean? There were some plays to be made, and, you know, we talked about the turnovers, which killed them late. But, man, Georgia Tech had Tennessee on the ropes in that game.
Yeah. And
that's a miss to the Mercedes-Benz. That was part two of the kickoff class.
And remember, Paul Johnson was like, screw it. We're going for it.
Right.
You know?
Which you and I at that point, remember he had a short week, and I think they were playing. Their opponent was coming up in like 5 days.
Yeah, they had a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could run plays all night long and try to win this thing going back and forth. At some point, somebody's got to go for it. He had the stones. They didn't win the game, but I like the call at that time. Hey, coming up, Charlie Cashley is going to join us in just a few minutes. NFL Network analyst. We'll get Charlie's thoughts on this draft. What does he think about the Falcons specifically? Because we're a team that went to a Super Bowl, got back to the playoffs, which is uncanny. It doesn't happen usually in the NFL. What do we need, in his estimation, to get us not only back to the playoffs, but back to the Super Bowl?
All right, we got a minute. When am I going to hear this ghost story, man?
It takes longer than a minute.
Oh, come on. This is ridiculous. Going on an hour now. You know, we talked earlier about Baker Mayfield went to a psychic and all that crap, and she said that he's going to wind up with the Cardinals and win a Super Bowl. And you're sandbagging on this ghost story.
I'm not, Mike. I just, it's very,
Is it emotional?
It's very emotional. It is.
Well, like Ron Artest, did a ghost touch you in a bad place?
Listen, I mean, when the hairs on your arm stand up and you get chills on the back of your neck.
I get that every time Terry Fox walks down the hallway.
Okay. All right, you know what? You see, this is why I can't have this conversation with you. I'm trying to be serious about a spiritual experience yes. that I've had, and here you are making jokes about the boss. I'm talking about serious business right now.
Arthur, you ever seen a ghost?
Nope.
Thank you. He's the voice of reason.
Wait a minute. You're from Louisiana. You're from the boot.
I don't mess with those things.
You see, no, thank you. There's a difference.
All right,
you haven't seen one because you don't.
I'm not looking for
one. No, you haven't. You don't go to those places.
And that's true.
But they're there.
Voodoo spots? Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
No, they're not.
Thank you, AT.
Voodoo shops in the quarter.
Thank you. They're there.
And tourist traps. That's what that the damn thing is.
Call them whatever you want to call them. They exist.
They're there. Yeah. But you don't go there.
Yeah.
Because you know.
Oh, will you stop?
I don't know that.
No, yes, you do.
By the way, have you ever seen a ghost tour in New Orleans during the day? No, they only do it at night. It adds to the atmospherics. See all those saps down there by Cafe Du Monde at Jackson Square laying out there $50 to have some guy dressed like Brad Pitt, an interview with a vampire, tell a bunch of nonsense? Exactly. Don't believe the hype.
Ghost stories and those ghost tours are real. I've been on one, man.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, coming up, Charlie Cassidy.
You went on a tour?
Yeah, it was a Halloween. It was fun. It was a Halloween thing. Yeah, absolutely. Now, come on, what else are you going to do here in New Orleans? Hey, man, Charlie Cassidy joins us. I love AT. I don't believe in ghosts. You seen them? Nope. Are they out there? Yep.
Real bad experience, man.
What happened?
I had a bad experience. Damn it.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk with Charlie Cassidy coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll talk more about this, but Mike and I mentioned it yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to see it, it'll be on HBO. The documentary on Andre the Giant came on last night, and I watched it, tweeted out this morning. It really took me back, man. And I shared that story yesterday with the first time I saw him as a kid, how enormous he was, and you see the footage last night. It's amazing the things that he was able to do at that size. But how fascinating was that documentary, man?
And it really kind of morphed it in the middle section of it. I don't want to give it away, but I mean, obviously, you know, it's like many wrestling documentaries, it's going to have a sad turn. But a really interesting history of how the McMahons controlled the Northeast and how eventually Vince McMahon formed the WWF and now the WWE, but how he basically gobbled up all the other regions and how these guys made their bones kind of traveling from one television region to another. But nobody didn't like Andre the Giant, and I told stories that Dusty Rhodes told me back in the day and used to tell us, our listeners on the radio back in the day, about Andre. But just what a sweet, lovable soul. Kind of cool to hear the people that worked with him on Princess Bride as well.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
I mean, I had forgotten he was in that, honestly, until they brought that up. And then Rob Reiner, the director, is telling stories. Billy Crystal was in that movie. They're telling stories about how much he used to drink and what kind of guy he was. So it's fascinating. There is obviously a lot of, you know, the wrestling side of things, but it's a human interest story. It really is.
A can of beer looked like a thimble in Andre the Giant's hands. It really did. Hey, man, we're waiting on Charlie Cashley. We'll talk to him in just a second. Real quick, some Falcon news. Taniela Tupou, a defensive tackle who we picked up last year. We waived him today. $480,000 eventually will come off the salary cap, I believe.
We're going to need more than that.
Well, I'm just telling, every little bit helps, Joe. Falcons announced today from the website the release of defensive lineman Taniela Tupou. I'm bad on the name. Worse than West Drewham on the Polynesian names. But anywho, he was signed to the Falcons' active roster before the game against the Dolphins last season. Mm. And now he's no longer a Falcon.
Okay. And listen, some of these moves, I mean, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. There are considered to be minor moves. We're not talking about millions of dollars coming off the books. But, you know, you're trying to create space for some other guys you may be interested in moving forward. And I'm sure that Dan Quinn, as they continue to look and do their research for the draft, they're looking at other guys that they might want to add to this roster, Mike, once camp rolls around, or even for OTAs or mini camp to have guys and bodies available. So that doesn't necessarily surprise me, but I know a lot of people are going, who? But we're just filling you in.
And we talked a lot earlier, guys. We have the full Falcon Report, as Carl mentioned, coming up, brought to you by Domino's, top of the hour. But, I mean, why do teams talk to and look at guys that they would have no immediate need for? Well, I mean, it's not about, like, saving a quarterback for a rainy day. I get where you're going. I would think there would only be two or three areas we'd be focused on. But I think all teams, in case you want to eventually move on from Matt Schaub and there's maybe a quarterback you look at. I mean, you've got the resources in your scouting department to look at all these guys. So that's why you might see the Falcons looking at some of these quarterbacks. You're going, well, who's that guy? You know, whether it's Tanner Lee, you know, or, you know, any of the other dudes that they were checking out, including Riley Ferguson from Memphis, guy who threw for over 70 touchdowns in his career with the Tigers.
Yeah, the cornerback thing or the DB thing is not as surprising to me, simply because I think Dan Quinn, he knows you can never have enough speed guys on the field like that, especially guys that can cover. This Jair Alexander is a pretty good player for Louisville. A lot of people thought he was their best defensive player. You know, 5'10", 5'11", 198, maybe 200 pounds. But dude ran a 4.340. Speed kills. And, you know, if you can cover and you're physical and you got ball skills, that's a guy you want to look at. That makes sense. Some of these other guys necessarily don't. And as I was saying earlier, and we'll talk more about this, but I'm all about the foundation. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I'm talking about, for example, Alex Mack, Matt Ryan, Hooper, Julio, the skill guys, but the foundation is what matters. And for me, defensive tackle, that's the number one part of this foundation that's missing.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm just saying, you know, and look, the one that everybody uses and everyone always cites is, you know, Tom Brady. Obviously, the Patriots at some point checked out Tom Brady, because why would you even pick up a quarterback in the sixth round when you got Drew Bledsoe in the middle of his career, in the middle of a contract? But, I mean, guys do their due diligence, so that's part of the reason why you have a list of quarterbacks that maybe you wouldn't go, huh? Why they look at those guys? Look,
when's the defensive backs. When's the last time we drafted a quarterback, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
I want to say seventh round of the kid out of Duke.
Okay.
And I'll have to go back and look it up right now. Why am I not remembering his name?
Because Schaub's been here a couple of years. I mean, we had a couple of backups that had been with the Falcons. But when's the last time we actually went and
drafted? Sean Renfrey.
Renfrey, that's right. Okay. Yeah. And that was what, 2000?
That's why God gave us Wikipedia. It was 2013.
Okay.
Seventh rounder.
Wow. All right. So maybe it's time. Maybe they are seriously thinking about that late in this draft. Mm. I just found that interesting that they are working out a variety of guys.
While we're waiting on Charlie Cassidy, can I hear the ghost story?
Huh?
Can I hear the ghost story? I mean, while we're waiting on Charlie Cassidy. Look,
you want to take me there, man?
Well, I mean, I just want to get the payoff, man. I mean, you're killing me. It's been around an hour and a half now.
It's not something
me.
I always try to think about, Mike. I mean, I told you, the chills, the hair on my arms.
All right,
to
the guys behind
arms?
The glass, do you want to hear the ghost story? It is our Vision Computer poll question.
I'm
it's
good.
Up at Mike Bell ATL. Follow us at Dukes and Bell 929.
You believe in ghosts?
In light of Baker Mayfield's visit with a psychic, got us talking about strange phenomenon. Do you believe in ghosts / paranormal activity? 64% of our audience says no.
You guys have no idea.
Well, then tell me the story that's going to win over all of Atlanta to believe in ghosts.
Craig, do you believe in ghosts?
No, but I believe in aliens. So
what?
There you go. All that space out there, you think there's nothing?
No, yeah, but why do they always visit the dumbest people on the planet?
Oh, well, don't ask me that.
Okay, see, now this gets back to my other thing, and I will tell the story here. But this gets back to my other thing. You act like you want to know. You don't want to know. You don't want to know what's out
there.
The
truth is out there, and you don't want to know.
You don't want to know. Everybody, I've always said this. Oh, man, I really want to know what's out there in space. No, you do not.
I do get a kick out of it when they ask Stephen Hawking about that, and he's like, you know, in his own way. I'm not going to do the voice to get in trouble for doing that. But the late Stephen Hawking, Dr. Hawking, said, we always assume that when these aliens come, they'll be friendly. We don't know that.
Right.
And if we were like little ants compared to them, why wouldn't they just squash us?
Yeah.
Enjoy that happy thought if you got kids in the car.
Think about it, though. All the movies, all the disaster movies have all these aliens always invading Earth, right? Mm-hmm. It's always, they want to take what we've got. I mean, anyways, I don't, Craig, I'm shocked that you believe in that. The idea that you.
All right, will you just tell the ghost story? And by the way, when the hell is Charlie Cassidy calling in? What the heck's going on?
My God, you're asking for a lot today. You know that?
You've been talking about it. So just give me the broad strokes on the ghost story.
All right. It was cold outside, and we were at my grandmother's house. I was young.
Is this Texas or Alabama?
It's Alabama.
Okay.
And as many of you know, all right, for my family, and like many of you, you had land. People owned their land, and their relatives were buried on that land, right? So we had been told these stories as kids that, you know, there were burial sites and don't go over there. And, you know, because some of this stuff wasn't marked and they had owned the land for many years. So long story short, Mike,
yes,
we're on the property. And
is it at night?
This is constant. We would always hear singing. And there wasn't anybody there. There weren't humans around, but you would hear singing. And so grandmother told us that those were obviously the spirits of our ancestors who were buried out there. And so we kind of took it as a joke. Mm. But then one particular day, not night, we're in the house. And all of these weird things started happening simultaneously. Not one. When I talked about the door opening up, right. Door opens up, right? The stove is turned on. Now, I'm going back. Now, this isn't like a stove that you deal with now. Mm-hmm. You literally had to, like, light my grandmother's stove. Okay. Stove's turned on.
It would require some effort.
Effort. All right. Okay? Mm-hmm. There are items moved in the bathroom. Simultaneously, all this is going on. And so you hear from the back of the house, yeah. What are y'all doing? Are y'all playing? What are y'all doing? So the adults thought that the kids were playing around. Uh-huh. We weren't even in the house. So we come into the house, and all of this stuff is going on, and it was the first time that I had been confronted with the idea that there were other spirits around.
Interesting.
That is why I know they exist.
Is that also the same time that Alabama hired Ray Perkins? There's a lot of strange things going on in Alabama at that time.
I knew you were going to go there.
What? I'm just saying. How old were you when this happened?
I had to be 8 or 9.
All right.
Around 8 or 9. So.
Right. No. I mean, by the way.
But here's the thing. And to your point about wanting to believe, when that kind of stuff happens, mm-hmm. You do find yourself looking for answers.
Right.
There are no logical answers.
Well, sure there are. The stove switched on by accident. There's a gas leak. There's obviously a spark of some sort. Yeah. And there you go. It happens all the time.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Look, my dad and I, we're big, big Civil War history buffs. And so my dad and I, I've been to Gettysburg, I've been to Antietam. And the one that's supposed to be the most haunted of all.
At night?
Yeah. Well, in the early morning. People go early morning just to hear the ghosts. Yeah, and see, then you're already projecting this, so you're going to hear what you want to hear.
What'd you hear?
I didn't hear anything. I heard birds and I heard wind in the trees. Other people hear rifle musketry and the marching sounds at Shiloh, the battlefield in Tennessee.
Right.
I think if you close your mind to it, I think you're not going to hear anything. I think if you open your mind, you have an active imagination, I think you can see anything you want to see.
What if you're not even thinking about it? That's the thing. We had no idea. We had been told that, but that was outside. That was like down the road. Mm. Not by the house.
Well, I wonder if the Georgia Dome was haunted with the memories of all the bad things that happened there. The good news is now it's just a big empty patch.
And by the way, if you're just tuning in, Mike and I, we were talking about this because Baker Mayfield, soon to be in the NFL, went mm-hmm. and saw a psychic, and the psychic told him he's going to win the Super Bowl, right. Which got us in this whole conversation. Do you believe in this kind of stuff? I know there are lots of folks who are listening who have their palms read, and you've had all these various things. The cards, mm-hmm. People have done the cards. So I know that some people may believe in it. Some people have done it for fun, for Halloween, that kind of stuff for adults. You go do it and you kind of have fun with it. But then it gets crazy when some of this stuff starts coming true.
I did talk to Walter Banks, a legendary usher here in Atlanta, and he did tell me that years ago, after obviously the Braves stopped winning, that you would hear the sound of golf balls being struck on the putting green below the bleachers near the clubhouse. It was obviously the ghosts of Craig Maddux and Tom Glavine and all those Cy Young Award winners.
You know what?
You'd hear golf balls would just mysteriously roll down the hallway right behind the old Braves clubhouse. It's creepy, man. It's
hey,
creepy.
Go vote on the Visit Computer poll, man.
Go to Mike Bell ATL. He's put him up C-Dukes. We are at Dukes and Bell 929. And follow the radio station, 99thegame.com. Right now, 62% say nonsense.
You people have no idea.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, Arthur Trish, what you got?
All right, we haven't heard much, guys, from Aaron Rodgers this summer, but you tell me if you think these comments indicate he's not 100% happy with the Packers offseason.
Apparently the ghost that Carl saw has taken over the computer.
See, y'all keep playing. Yeah. Y'all keep playing if you
want activity to. Here on the software, apparently, as Craig is unable to
I think it's pretty clear that players play and coaches coach and personnel people make their decisions the way they want it.
So
he's always a little snarky. Yeah, man. Yeah, he's probably not happy with it. I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers, Carl, is feeling a certain way because ever since they beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl, was it Ted Thompson and other guys that have been in that role? Have not exactly put the best team around him, one could argue.
I would tell you, as fearful as I am of Aaron Rodgers, there's not another quarterback, honestly, that I fear who could win with less. But we've owned him. We've owned
the
Packers.
We match up well against Green Bay.
And for whatever reason, you go back the last four or five matchups, including the playoffs, we've beaten the crap out of them. So, you know, with all of that said, yes, I do think Aaron Rodgers is frustrated. He sees other teams around the league seemingly getting better personnel around them. I would say this, too. I don't think there's another team that asks more of their quarterback. They ask a lot of Aaron to win these games.
We don't know when we'll be there, but we will be right at Lambeau
this
year. So we'll see how that goes.
As a matter of fact, the NFL preseason schedule comes out today at 5 o'clock.
By the way, you want to place bets? Jacksonville?
And referencing Rodgers again, if you remember, while they may have picked up Jimmy Graham at tight end, his quarterback coach is now gone, as is wide receiver Jordy Nelson.
Right.
Hey, Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo blames a bad hotel bed for a back issue that has placed him on a disabled list for the first time in his career. Have you ever run into an issue like that at a 4 or 5-star hotel?
No, man. You know, I like Rizzo, okay?
Right.
But this is ridiculous, guys. Those beds at those hotels, we just stayed at the Four Seasons. That bed sleeps better than my bed at home, okay? So I can't tell you that he had his back problems because of the bed. Now, he may have had back problems because he had somebody in the bed, not because of the bed.
Yeah, I'm going to call shenanigans on that. And by the way, even if you feel a little funny with the bed, you can always call downstairs and switch rooms, I guess. I'm going to call shenanigans on it. Typical baseball player injury.
By the way, all those beds are the same. I mean, it's not like if you switch a room, it's like, oh, it's Sealy Posturepedic in that room?
I used to bring my pillow on the road, though. It does. Sometimes the pillows are better in other hotels.
My pillow or your pillow?
My pillow, the company.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about purchasing one of those mattresses or beds from one of those hotels?
I did.
I thought about that. I never checked into it, though.
No, I did. A few years back, I was going to buy the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
I literally called. This was
what hotel, man? What was that?
Aria. When Aria first opened, maybe 2010, maybe 2009, we went and stayed at Aria. This is the best sleeping bed I had slept in. I've been to Vegas 8 million times. Best sleeping bed I had ever slept in.
Firm or soft and squishy?
Just soft. You just fell into
boom,
it.
Boom.
The comforter, everything. So literally I called downstairs. I'm like, yeah, how much is it for this bed? The lady's like, oh, just go online. Yeah, they have it available.
How much?
She said, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
I was like, well, it's like we'll be back at home. But they sold the entire thing. Pillows, the whole giddy up.
Huh. Well, the Rockets finished the NBA's regular season with the league's best record. Yet, Mike D'Antoni says the season won't be diminished if the team doesn't win the finals. Do you agree with me when I believe D'Antoni is wrong about this?
I'm going to say, yes, I agree that you are totally right, and he is out of his mind. How are we going to judge you? By height? The regular season doesn't mean crap, especially when half the league gets to go to the playoffs, D'Antoni. So don't already start checking out mentally. All right? Come on. That's a loser mentality. I wouldn't even make that comment. You've earned the right to be a top seed. Now go there and win it. Because you've earned the right to have a better seating than Golden State, who's probably your best competition.
Well, the playoffs define you. Mike D'Antoni's playoff record. You want to know what it is? 32-38. The Phoenix Suns, between 2004 and 2008, went to back-to-back trips to the Western Conference Finals. That was the Steve Nash years, guys, the back-to-back MVPs.
Is that Amari Stoudemire's
team? Yeah. They didn't win jack. You know who the coach was? Mike D'Antoni. That's why he feels like the playoffs don't define you, because you've never won in the playoffs when it matters
most. That's a bunch of bull, man.
Yeah, no, man. This is a joke. You don't define teams by what they do in the regular season. Everybody's legacy is defined by what they do in the playoffs. LeBron, Steph Curry, the Beard, the Falcons, Mike D'Antoni.
I'll tell you what, if any series that they go through gets tight, this quote is going to come back to haunt him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Utah rookie Donovan Mitchell wore a sweatshirt last night that clearly defined his thought on whom the Rookie of the Year should be. Now, that was a shot at Ben Simmons, who has publicly said he should be the ROY. But doesn't Mitchell have a point here?
Yeah, I mean, because he didn't play, Simmons had the injury. Mm-hmm. So this now, Carl, will count because the minimum was not passed, right? So he can be considered a rookie for this year. But Ben Simmons saying he didn't think there was anyone in this rookie class that was in his league.
Simmons, how did he play last night against the Hawks, by the way?
He was almost a scratch. They said he came down with a stomach bug, I believe, before the game. But he had a decent game. They won.
Magic City. What's that?
Listen, Ben Simmons is a very, very good talent. I mean, he has the upside for Ben Simmons, to me, is unlimited. He, with his size, his jumping ability, the way he sees the floor. But this is kind of sour grapes. You know, when you start talking about, it's me. It's me. It better be me. Come on, man.
It's today's player.
Come
but
on.
I think Ben Simmons will win this award. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be a romp by Simmons in the voting. Hey, Major League Baseball has awarded the 2020 All-Star Game to the Dodgers in Dodgers Stadium.
Mm.
Are you surprised to hear the last time they hosted the Midsummer Classic was in 1980?
Wow.
Yeah,
no,
man, they
didn't realize that.
They redid Dodger Stadium, put some more money into it. It's still state-of-the-art, best food, other than that poop problem they had a few weeks ago against the Angels. But, the Braves, by the way, they're trying to lobby. Remember, we haven't had it since 2000. At Turner Field, so waiting to see when SunTrust, and what a great spot it would be. Talk about how many home runs would we see in the home run derby at SunTrust, man.
It's going to happen. We'll get in the rotation here, and then hopefully, we put on a good show, and we'll be in the rotation, because SunTrust is going to be a fun place to watch it. There's no doubt about it. I am surprised. It's been that long, but I will tell you, Chavez Ravine is one of the best places to watch a baseball game.
Hey, while I don't follow the NHL much during the regular season.
What?
I do check in on them during the postseason, especially the conference finals and the Stanley Cup. So with the start of the playoffs tonight, will you turn in?
Yeah, man.
Tune in.
I talked about this in my version today. I think it's episode 12 of the Duke's Dump. I was talking about how soccer's caught on here and how we had a hockey team. And if I would have told you that we had an NHL team and it didn't catch on, but we were going to have professional soccer, and it did. So to answer your question, yes. By the way, Predators will win it all this year.
Really?
Better than what they were last year. And PK Subban.
No, it's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, man.
Is the man.
I'm telling you. Watch out for the Lightning, Joe. Meanwhile, for Thrasher fans, Minnesota at your Winnipeg Jets. Has the remnants of the Thrashers.
Is this the first time they've made the playoffs since leaving?
Second time.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. He made it many times.
All right, today is not my final question.
Whoa, sign out. You want to put something on that Nashville thing?
Yeah, we'll put a ghost on it.
Exactly. You don't have the stones to believe in your pick.
I bet you $100 the Lightning go farther than Nashville.
Okay. There you go.
Deal.
All right, final question. Today is National Pet Day, so have you two posted photos of your favorite pet on social media today?
Is it today? Well, let me do that, because that guy's killing when I post pictures of Z, the Wonder Cat.
I have not. I post pictures all the time of Maximus Prime, the best boxer in the world, and Mikey, but I have not done that today. I did not realize that was the today was the day.
We are confident enough in our own masculinity to post pictures of our pets.
But will he post a picture of a ghost?
Yeah,
I'll post a picture of my dogs, not a cat. But that's a whole nother story.
Hey, I live in a high rise. I'm not walking the dog three times a day.
Yeah.
The cat poops in a box. It's easy.
I understand.
Hey, man.
You don't have to justify it.
Hey, man. Falcon Report coming up. Also, guys, Charlie Cass is going to join us tomorrow. He had us in the book for tomorrow. We'll talk to him from NFL Network, more on the Falcons. Also, some potential bad news for Atlanta United FC. Stay tuned for that, Carl.
And we finally get one. We'll explain what happened in Washington.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.